Blog Talk Radio.
Mais c'est tellement nouvelle cette chanson française qu'il faut que je lis toutes les paroles parce qu'elle vient de la paix il y a 3 jours. Elle a seulement 3 jours. Et c'est pour ça que j'ai les paroles ici. Mais je vous promets que depuis aujourd'hui, elle va être très populaire en France. Je pense.
La reine. Quand on voit danser des langues belles dans une fête, à des reflets d'argent de la mer, des reflets changeants sous la pluie.
Hello everyone, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, and this is Laurie Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well. Have a good evening. Have a good
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're glad to have you join us today. It was open mic night. The number to call is 515-605-9802. We're here for 90 minutes, and today's Thursday, September 15, 2022. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Thank you for subscribing to Kitchen Politics 123 on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We're going to talk about a blue tsunami 2022 possibility. Why should we be liberal and proud? The One Nation Progressive Agenda, where trickle-down economics is rubbish. It's never worked. Trump should go to prison. He met up with his cohorts on a golf course. None of them had, golf clubs or anything, but they just stood up there talking. What were they talking about? What's the big secret? Okay, so let's get the show on the road. So where should you start, Lori?
Oh, my goodness. There are just every day, every single day, there is something. So today, I just would like to maybe start, can we start on a positive note with our president?
Sure.
And just maybe just talk a few minutes about President Biden's, and what we'd like to call the lucky streak. And, we've ridden a wave of good news all summer long. And, our economy has been improving. We've won some things in the legislative side. Ukraine is actually making some headway. Some Russian troops in one of the cities had to back away. So our president has been working very hard to keep all his promises. And every single day, there is something new that he tries to do. The latest was the student debt, the $10,000 for college students. Now he's going to be working on the chips for the cars, and they're going to be made in the United States, that kind of thing. So, so I think we should just kind of, talk a little bit about the things that he's done. And, inflation, the inflation is high, but we are not in a recession. People are working, people are making money. Maybe they're not making, the $15 to $20 an hour that they should be making, but the economy is moving forward. And for that, that makes me happy. Our gas prices are down. He did the Inflation Reduction Act, which is going to help with climate change. It's going to create jobs. All sorts of things like that. And so every single day there's such negativity, in the news because the orange monster dominates the news day in and day out, and we can't escape, you know. And so I just wanted to just talk a couple minutes about that. And I think he's doing a wonderful job. I think he's trying to keep every single promise that, you know, he made on his campaign trail. And he's working, you know, he's working to make our union stronger, you know, trying to raise the minimum wage, everything. So we have to give him credit where credit is due. And what do you think, David?
Yes, it's long past due because as Republicans, they stand for nothing. And, you know, Joe Biden, along with Democrats, have put through legislation, major legislation, and things moving forward in a positive direction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so they're talking about a red wave supposed to happen. What we'll see in the 10 previous special elections, Democrats won all of them in Republican strongholds.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, all props to Joe Biden and Democrats. They're doing something positive. They're moving forward. And Republicans don't have a clue what they're doing or what they're saying, you know, and it's showing.
Oh, yeah.
So,
they want to you know, privatize Social Security and Medicare so they can get their hands in that. Not going to happen. You know, the president wants to do the opposite, and his administration wants to do the opposite. You know, they want to strengthen it and, you know, add more benefits for seniors that have worked all their lives and, you know, deserve the money that they have paid into the system, you know, and to get it back. And also the, you know, the drug, you know, drug costs are going to, you know, be capped. That's not going to come for, I think, till 25. It'll be a $2,000 cap for drugs for seniors. So that's something, you know, because a lot of people go bankrupt, you know, trying to pay for their drugs as they get older because they have different illness. And that is really important to people, you know. So all these things add up, and then we have the, you know, the Republicans, I call them the MAGA, you know, the MAGAs that are just trying to destroy the country in every single way possible. They want to take away abortion rights and, you know, human rights, and they'll be working on, you know, same-sex marriage pretty soon, et cetera.
Yes, and they'll no doubt try to outlaw interracial marriage. So we'll see how that failed. They're going after women with a vengeance. Let's start. Take this call from Ohio, ladies and gentlemen. Remember to call. When you call, it's 515-605-9802, and say your first name, where you're calling from. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Hi. My name is Kathy.
Hi. Hello,
I'm
Kathy.
Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, real good. Listen, I wanted to throw my two cents worth in about something that I'm kind of not worried about. It's just something that stuck with me thinking today about the Judge Eileen Cannon from South Florida.
Yes.
Who has denied the DOJ, which I think is a little preposterous. I mean, how does a judge do that? I mean, how can you deny anything the DOJ says? I mean, that's the Department of Justice.
I know.
But doesn't that more or less, since she's gone ahead and approved that there should be a special master?
Yeah.
The way I'm looking at it or thinking about it, isn't that kind of like saying that the judge that okayed or issued the warrant for the search warrant of Mar-a-Lago in the first place was kind of full of it. I mean, if a judge okayed the search warrant, how come then she's got to turn around and say, no, we're going to have to approve it with another judge or a special master to check over these documents?
Yes.
I don't get that part. Because the judge already okayed the search warrant. So what's the deal?
I know. I feel the same way about that. I'm not understanding. I don't really understand the whole judicial system. I don't really understand, how this federal judge has so much power over the DOJ, how this all came about. And I do feel that she is definitely helping Trump. She did say that his reputation is on the line. Who the frick cares? We would all be
his
in
reputation.
Jail right now.
Well, he's not exactly a choir boy.
She said that. So what I'm saying to you is this judge is in his pocket. Don't you think, David?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because didn't he appoint her?
Yes.
During his lame duck. During the lame duck session, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So so what she did today, she denied the DOJ. She denied the DOJ. She denied the DOJ request to exempt classified docs from special master review. So that's what she did. So in other words, what I get from that is that all these top secret documents that only certain people are supposed to view them, she doesn't care. So she's actually putting, people at risk. She could be putting the country at risk. And she doesn't care because the only loyalty that she has is to the Orange Monster. That is it.
Exactly.
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 Yes. So tell us about, change a direction just one second. Tim Ryan is running for U.S. Senate in Ohio. How is he doing?
Well, I think anybody in their right mind, if they know anything at all about J.D. Salinger, back in 18, I believe it was, I went out to California. Mm-hmm. My sister and I went to a thrift shop, and I found this book, Hillbilly Elegy. Mm-hmm. And I picked it up and looked at the flyleaf, and I said, oh, this guy's from right south of where I'm from. I said, I think I'll buy it. So it was like a quarter or whatever at a thrift shop. And I read it, and lo and behold, I saw the movie on TV. And then I got to hear, I paid attention to him then, the things that you would hear that would only be like in local news. In Ohio, we've got Spectrum News that comes out of Cleveland, but it covers the whole state. And you'd pick up tidbits every once in a while. And this guy, J.D. Vance, he's just like, what can I do now to make some more money? So when the slot came up, because Portman is retired, he was approached to run. And he's just, and I think he's in the same league with this Judge Cannon. He's very young. Yeah, he went to Harvard Law School, which, if you got enough money, that doesn't mean anything. But both of them are young, and they haven't, they're still wet behind the ears, and they don't have that much experience in life, in my opinion, to know, to be able to make a good decision. And I just think that, like all Republicans, the almighty dollar, and that's what J.D. Vance wants, and I believe everybody else, agrees with it. And when the lady before me mentioned chips, it was Tim Ryan that was instrumental in getting that big chip, Intel chip factory plant that they're building outside of Columbus. That was Tim Ryan had a lot to do with that, along with Sherrod Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim Ryan's done a lot for Ohio. And there's chip jobs in Columbus are going to go a whole lot further than J.D. Vance's little hillbilly allergy book went about drugs and his granny. Drugs, his granny being on drugs and his mama. I mean, Tim Ryan, everybody knows Tim Ryan has done a lot for Ohio, and I think he will be the next senator from Ohio, and I'm thrilled to death about it. I am thrilled to death about it.
I hope so, too.
Well, I'm going to let you all go. Good evening. Have a nice show.
Thank you for calling,
Kathy.
Thank
you so much.
Thanks for listening to me.
Yes,
ma'am. Thank you.
Yeah, that was Kathy. That was Kathy in Ohio. Yes, ma'am. So Donald Trump warns there will be a big problem if he's indicted. CBS Evening reported just 2 hours ago that former President Trump warned there could be an unrest if he is indicted over classified documents seized from Mar-a-Lago. This is Major Garrett's report.
Former President Trump says he, quote, can't imagine being indicted over his handling of classified documents after leaving office. And he warned of unrest if charges were brought.
I think you'd have problems in this country, the likes of which perhaps we've never seen before. I don't think the people of the United States would stand for it.
Democrats slammed the remarks.
Inviting the mob to return to the streets is exactly what happened here January 6, 2021.
Trump also said he declassified the sensitive documents found in unsecured locations at his Mar-a-Lago residence. This, Trump suggested, should absolve him.
I have the absolute right to declassify. Absolute. A president has that absolute right.
Trump's attorneys have not made this argument in court filings. Legally speaking, it may not matter.
Whether or not a document is classified is irrelevant. It's a question of mishandling national security information, even if they have been declassified.
Meanwhile, Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, having been subpoenaed, is now, according to CNN, cooperating with the Justice Department investigation into January 6th. At least 40 Trump associates have been subpoenaed in recent weeks, part of a widening probe into efforts to overturn the presidential election. That is also the focus in Georgia, where a grand jury is investigating Trump-led maneuvers to undercut the state's 2020 results. The district attorney told the Washington Post, if indicted and convicted, people are facing prison sentences. On yet another legal front, CBS News has learned New York's attorney general rejected a plea deal proposed by Trump's attorneys to settle a long-running investigation into possible financial fraud perpetrated by the Trump organization. This development, Nora, suggests a civil suit could soon be filed against Trump and possibly one of his children.
Thank you.
Yes, so that's just CBS Even News. And Trump is in big trouble along with 40 other people that were subpoenaed. And Mark Meadows, Mark Meadows, his former chief of staff, is cooperating.
Oh, I think Mark Meadows is going to sing like a canary. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
He knew everything that was going on. He was he was right front and center, and I truly believe that he's in hot water. He might do a plea deal or something like that if they press charges down the road, but I do think that he is going to, I don't think he's not going to talk. I think he's going to talk. That's that I have. I might be wrong, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, people were stupid to take the fall for Trump while Trump remains free, going around the United States, giving his Nazi rallies and speeches and everything. You know,
I mean,
any other person. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Finish.
Any other person who did what he did would be in prison. Mm-hmm. So what's the delay? Does Trump have secrets on certain people? What's going on? I can't understand it, really. You know, he should have been in prison a long time. But no, he's going around the place, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, most people would be in prison right now. You know, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is the frustrating part. The other frustrating part is that he goes around and says the things like he said today, basically threatening that if he's indicted, you know, there's going to be a civil war in this country and people are going to die. That's basically what he's saying, you know, and, you know, for that, he should just, I mean, that's almost like inciting a riot or, you know, taking people's, you know, making you afraid or, you know, it's not right. And he should not be allowed to even speak like that. I don't understand why he gets full reign to say whatever he wants and nobody stops him. No one. It's just so appalling.
So imagine if Bill Clinton or Barack Obama had said something like that, if they lost the election. I mean, first of all, they wouldn't, but hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That probably would be away from trial now.
Absolutely.
I can't understand why.
Because the Republicans would have thrown the hammer down a long time ago, and they'd be pounding right now nails, you know, what I'm trying to say. And I think, you know, maybe the Democrats were trying to play nice, but you can't play nice with these people. These people are ruthless. And they don't care about anyone except themselves, especially the orange monster. There's no other way to put it, you know. There's no other way to put it. You know, he can't imagine being indicted. Who does he think he is? He thinks that he can just break any law. He can run a red light. He can do whatever he wants to do. Just like he said when he was coming down that elevator, what did he say? I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and he wouldn't be arrested. You know, that's his mentality, and it has shown all the way through. So, I mean, it's time.
Yeah, I guess he's bigger than the law. That's what he's saying. Yeah, I guess Trump is bigger than the law.
And he's wanting it. On top of it, everything else, he's wanting it by the things that he says.
Yes. So, a special master has been appointed in the Mar-a-Lago case. Veteran Judge Raymond Derry will serve as a third party to review documents that have been through. The Justice Department has been through on confiscating and everything. You know, and this judge was appointed by Reagan back in the 1980s, and this judge is known to not take crap from anybody, whichever side it is. You know, so I feel personally it's a waste of time with Special Master. You know, it's a starting tactic, and it's a waste of taxpayer money. You know, I'm just so frustrated I can't put in a sentence or words.
And you're right. That is what he's done throughout his whole life is he has sued people and kicked the can down the road his whole life. That's all this man has ever done. And it's worked for him. It has worked for him. Up to now, see what happens. But you know, appointing a judge that you appointed that really has no experience, she has no idea what she's gotten herself into. She, you know, and I mean, you can tell by the rulings that she's making that she really doesn't understand that she can put everyone at risk in this country. What's to stop anyone from doing a terrorist attack on our country if they have our top secret. What's to stop them?
Yeah. She's a threat to national security, basically.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to put it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then we have old Lindsey Graham.
My question is, why are unqualified judges making decisions on behalf of the nation? You know, these courts are conservative, right-leaning judges and everything. I mean, you could understand if they're qualified and experienced, but these people, like Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court Justice, he's one of the prime examples of somebody who's unqualified, incapable, and don't have what it takes. He's out in the depth of his league. But yet still, you know, the FBI claimed that investigating him, they didn't, you know, and it came out after the fact what he did. You know, so Mitch McConnell is one of the biggest ones who pushed all these judges through, because remember he made a deal saying, okay, you know, it's election year, you know, we can't have Obama appointing a Supreme Court judge going into the election.
Yeah, no.
Okay, what had happened when Trump, you know, he didn't give a goddamn, Mitch McConnell, about putting judges through. You know?
No.
So what the hell? I mean, good Lord. You know, if you're practicing, don't stand
and sit. It doesn't make sense. I mean, it does make sense because this lawyer, this judge, Cannon, is doing exactly what Trump wants her to do. She is just doing whatever she's told to do. And that's very obvious. It's very obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And all it's doing is stalling, you know, because I think that they wanted to have this wrapped up before the midterms. No way is that going to happen now. No way.
So you're saying about Lindsey Graham about this partial birth abortion thing, when after 15 weeks, you know, a woman won't be able to, you know, carry out an abortion or make a decision on her own body. Yes, tell us more about that.
Sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Lindsey Graham introduced legislation on Tuesday, and he thinks he's doing everybody a big favor, by the way, okay? Ban abortions nationwide after 15 weeks of pregnancy, embracing more severe restrictions on the procedure, just as Democrats seek to elevate the issue of abortion rights ahead of November's elections. The bill from Graham is a more stringent version of a proposal introduced by him and other Republicans last year that would have banned abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy, called the Protecting the Pain-Capable Unborn Child from Late-Term Abortions Act. The new measure prohibits from performing abortions 5 weeks earlier in the pregnancy after 15 weeks. It includes exceptions for abortions that are necessary to save the life of the mother or when the pregnancy is a result of rape or incest, and would leave untouched state laws that are more restrictive. Graham appeared alongside anti-abortion rights advocates to unveil the legislation on Capitol Hill, telling reporters his proposal will bring the United States in line with most European nations that impose limits on abortions. And then he went on to say, abortion is not banned in America. To the elected officials in America to define the issue, he said. States have the ability to do it at the state level, and we have the ability in Washington to speak on this issue if we choose. I have chosen to speak. I have chosen to craft legislation that I think is eminently reasonable in the eyes of the world, and I hope the American people, you know, will accept it. And I mean, this is a bunch of shit, okay? Excuse me? If you are pro-choice, you're pro-choice. telling women now that at 15 weeks, that after that, you know, they can't do anything. What if your child, what if at 16 weeks, that child is, something happens in her womb where the child is mm-hmm. sick and is going to die anyway? Is that after mm-hmm. 16 weeks, are they supposed to carry that child dead in their stomach the whole time in their womb?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what Republicans expecting, yes.
Yes. So what I'm trying to say is get your women's right body. Stay away from us. It is mm-hmm. our choice. It is mm-hmm. our life. It's our decision. Mm-hmm. This man, who has probably never been married, has no family, has no children, thinks that he can come out with legislation like this?
Yeah.
To tell other women what Graham, to do?
Yeah, the only thing Lindsey Graham should be coming out of is a closet.
Exactly.
That's my thing.
I want to say that, but I thought I'd do that to you. I knew you were going to say
it. Yeah,
515.
Right. Yeah, 515-605-9802 is the number to call. Speaking about abortion, near total abortion ban takes effect in Indiana. And this is a report from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
This is an area that would normally be full of patients. Most of the lights are now off at Women's Med, an Indianapolis abortion provider. As a physician, I get mad because insurance companies deny claims. I'm not normally mad because my patients are being stripped of human rights.
The clinic is among two Indiana providers slated to close. The state's five remaining clinics will still offer limited health care. Dr. Kenny McHugh says patient volume doubled here as more restrictive abortion laws were passed in neighboring states.
And we were able to support the states around us and take their patients and provide the care that they needed. That all happened until yesterday.
Indiana is now one of 13 states with a near total ban or that have outlawed abortions after 6 weeks.
So Idaho, South Dakota, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Indiana are, you know, the states with the strictest abortion laws. And each of those states, as I just mentioned, not even if you're raped or incest by a family member, are you allowed to have an abortion? So the report continues.
It's an exciting day for Indiana. Sue Liebel is with Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America.
Now it's back in state hands. It's going to be messy. It'll be different every state, but it's closer to the people, closer to the will of the voters.
Women's Med will now send Indiana patients to its sister clinic in Dayton, Ohio, more than 100 miles away, where just yesterday a county judge temporarily restored Ohio's abortion access.
When you look to the future, what do you see? I see so much harm on these populations that will not be able to access abortion care. And I think about the generational damage that will be done to these patients and their families.
A judge declined a request to temporarily block the ban today while lawsuits play out, but that could change at a hearing on Monday. Meanwhile, Women's Med plans to keep its doors open, be available to answer patients' questions, at least for the next few weeks. Nora?
Hey, Jenna Diaz. Thank you.
Yep, so that's what's going on in Indiana. Yeah.
Sickening. It is all just so wrong. Well, here in Michigan, it's going to be on the ballot
mm-hmm.
in November. So they tried mm-hmm. to stop that, and we talked about that the last show.
Yes.
So that is going to be vote yes on Proposal 3. It's going to be a very mm-hmm. simple thing. It's just vote yes on Proposal 3 or no, you know,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
yes has to prevail.
What do you think about the mismanagement that happened in Mississippi? Where Brett Favre got millions of dollars, you know.
I think that this things never end. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, Mississippi is such a poor state as it is, as we all know. You know, they're last in education. And welfare and, you know, all of that. And Brett Favre... I don't even have words for what he did. I don't understand how he could get involved in a welfare scandal. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the people who really needed PPP didn't get it, but the people like Tom Brady, Brett Favre, which other rich
yes.
corporations, even some members of Congress, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a lot of them, you know, their PPP loans have been forgiven, but yet still bitching about student loans. And now, when Phil Bryant was governor of Mississippi, you know, it came out through text messages what they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
So, and thank goodness, because that journalist is Aaron Meadow, for bringing it out and bringing it to the public view and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these corrupt bastards in Mississippi who, you know, not even trying to help the people in Jackson, the capital, from getting muddy water. They had a recent flooding. It's affected the water and everything.
Yeah.
Water is life, basically. And just like in Flint, Michigan, what's happening now in Flint, Michigan, same thing happening in Jackson, Mississippi. And you notice, if it were a majority white populace in these cities, something would have been done a long time ago. But no, it's a majority of black people. So who gives a damn about black people or any minority? You know, so, and Mississippi can never learn, because ever since, even before the Civil Rights Act, you know, they've been voting Republican constantly. And they're 50 out of 50 in education, healthcare, in a majority of things. They're that poor, you know? So why would you vote Republican? You know,
exactly.
The infrastructure is shit. The main, the main cash crop is picking cotton. And we have no other connotations behind picking cotton and everything. So why in hell would anybody in the right mind would want to move to Mississippi for any reason, you know? It's just gross, you know, what's happening in Mississippi.
Yeah,
you know?
And
it's
I have a little bit of information on what happened there. So what happened, it was the former governor, Phil Bryant, helped Brett Farr secure welfare funding for USM Volleyball Stadium, and the text revealed that. So never before seen text messages show former Governor Phil Bryant tried to shepherd a proposal to use welfare funds, shepherd a proposal to use welfare funds on the construction of a new volleyball stadium for retired NFL player Brett Favre. A project prosecutors have called a scheme to defraud the government. Bryant heavily denied any involvement with the project, which has emerged as the centerpiece of a massive criminal scandal in which prominent officials misspent or stole millions in welfare funds intended for the nation's poorest residents. And at one point, Brett Favre asked in a text, if the media was going to get a hold of this information. He actually asked that in a text.
Mm-hmm.
He asked, her name was, he was on there with, what was her name? I have to get her name right now. But anyways, I'll get her name in a second. And she said she would pay Favre $1.1 million state funds directly, and he would do a few radio ads. Then he said he would run the money over to the volleyball project. His daughter, I think, went to that. I think it had something to do with her daughter in that stadium
Well. Yeah.
So it's just unbelievable, you know, that.
Yeah, kickbacks and corruption, basically.
Yes.
Kickbacks and corruption by Republicans, typical Republican behavior.
And he texted Nancy New, who I think they've arrested her, if I remember right. But this is what he texted her. If you were to pay me, is there any way the media can find out when it comes when it comes, and how much. That's what he asked her, if the media was going to find out. That is appalling.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, because he knew it was illegal. He knew that it was some bandula thing happening. And he got his hand caught in a cookie jar.
Yes, and, he did.
You know, no, what would come out of it? Let's see, because if Trump, nothing happening to Trump, you know, rich people like Brett Favre and influencers like Phil Brand, the former governor of Mississippi, you know, they think they're above the law. And, you know, it depends on where democracy goes, because if nothing happens to these people who have done wrong, what example is it setting for the next generation? What example is it setting for the world? We can't say, oh, we're the bastion of freedom and hope around the world. The world just laugh at us. The world is laughing at us now because of what Trump and Republicans did. Or not even Republicans, the MAGA Republicans. 515-605-9802, the number to call. This is Kitchen Politics 123 with David Franklin and Laura Picker. We're not anti-social, we're anti-stupid. So we have a call on the line. Is this Susie from Michigan?
Yes, it is. How are you guys today?
Good. How are you,
Susie? Oh, not
bad.
Just a little bit stressed.
Yeah. Doesn't it piss you off? Every time you turn around, there's another crappy story on the line. I mean, it's just one after another, after another, after another. Now, Favre was supposed to do these speeches. That was where the money was hidden. He was supposed to make these speeches and get paid all this money. He never made the speeches. He just took the money and gave it to the volleyball court that his daughter plays.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and then all the baloney with Mar-a-Lago and all those papers and that stupid judge and everything—that's just ridiculous. Oh, and then she said, "Oh, the DOJ can still look at the papers, like they're not doing that, right?" Secret papers—they're investigating. They haven't stopped, and they're going to keep on going. I just wonder which indictment is going to hit the fan first, if it's going to be New York, because they've been at it for a real long time. And then you got January 6th, and now you got this one. This one could be treason, couldn't it? He stole secrets that put people's lives and our country in danger.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean,
right. And don't forget that they're investigating Trump in Georgia for trying to get those 11,000 odd votes.
Oh, yeah. Interfering with the election. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep, yep.
And trying to intimidate people, witnesses and everything. You know, so
you
know, that's four.
For Christ's sake. I need 11,000 something votes. They got him on tape. What's not to, you know, how can he talk that one back? It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
And, I mean,
exactly.
He has so many lawsuits against him. I mean, he can't even find lawyers that want to do anything with him anymore. They don't get paid, just like his contractors don't get paid when he built his hotels and casinos and stuff. He screwed so many people left and right. He's just got more money to outpace them. That's the only problem, that he stole from these people.
And you know, the entitlement behavior of the wealthy in this country has gotten to a point where really it's very disgusting, beyond disgusting. It's time for the common man to come together and force changes in government to prevent this sort of behavior and to punish it severely. Starting with Trump, Brett Favre, former governor Brand in Mississippi. And you notice no Democrats, it's just a lot of Republicans who they're well off already, and yet still they're ripping off people. You know?
Exactly. It's like the old robber barons and the railroad guys, you know, back in the 1920s, and people were on the, you know, depression, and they had the Dust Bowl, and they didn't have food, so they rioted, and they got rid of those bastards. Because all they cared about is their own money and screw the people. And that's where we're getting to right now. It's all about the money. The Republicans are backed by big business, and big business is controlling everything and screwing us. I'm glad. Oh, one thing you forgot about President Biden. He got the railroad to sit down and talk, and they're going to have it. They got a tentative agreement. So he really did a big one right there. It would have cost $40 billion a day if they struck. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know, you know, because they were asking for, you know, better benefits and spend more time with their families, et cetera. And I, you know, I hope the negotiations went their way. I really do.
They were on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They didn't know when they would be called on work because they're short of help. And if they got sick, they got fired. And they have some kind of point system that if you didn't show up to work because you were sick, you got deducted. And if your wife had to be rushed to the hospital with a heart attack, too bad. You know, it's crazy. That's not right.
No,
Speaking of labor and labor unions, Amazon spent a whopping $450 million to prevent their workers being unionized.
I know they're awful.
Bezos is a pig,
and then he keeps on putting his rocket up in there. They just put him on it and let him go out of space and get out of there.
Okay.
Period.
Absolutely.
He doesn't pay taxes, and he doesn't pay his people, and he works them to death. They can't even go take a leak during work if it's at a wrong time. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk a minute about Rick Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Elizabeth Warren basically had a fit. Rick Scott is trying to introduce a bill that would block President Biden's student loan forgiveness. That's what Rick Scott is doing right now.
Nothing better to do than pick on poor people.
Yeah. You know, and we have to remember about Rick Scott. Do we remember about him at all? About what he did with the Medicare fraud in Florida. And, you know, when he was chief executive, he defrauded Medicare, Medicaid, and other federal programs. The Department of Justice ultimately fined the company $1.7 billion in what at that time was the largest health care fraud settlement in U.S. history. And guess what? He got charged for nothing, no criminal penalties whatsoever. So he didn't learn anything from this. And he's the other one that wants to go after Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, anything that's good for the people. Rick Scott is another evil SOB.
Yeah, and, you know, after he was supposed to go to prison, but the people of Florida elected him governor, you know, so Florida is something else. Florida is a redheaded stepchild of America.
Every independent country has basic health care for their people, basic pension, and every European country has free college or training for different, you know, like electricians and carpenters and all that for free.
I know.
Except for us. Why? We're supposed to be the richest country in the world. I don't get it. I mean, college is getting ridiculous. Average year is $85,000 a year?
It is.
How come the colleges are charging so much? What are they doing that's different from the old days? I mean, what? What has changed? They got laptops? Big deal. But, I mean, we could go on minimum wage and afford to go to community college. And now you can't. There's no way. Even if you're working jobs after school. I mean, I worked my way through school, but I could pay for it out of the minimum wage I was earning at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you can't do that now.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Everything is screwed up. I'm sorry. It is just driving me crazy. I listen to the news. I get so upset. I feel like throwing a shoe at the TV.
I know. I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm turning
into
my dad. He used to yell at the TV, and I do the same damn thing now.
Yeah.
I don't know how the only thing we can do is vote. Vote, vote, vote. Get them bastards out of office. That's all we can do.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Elizabeth Warren, you know, she was on State of the Union on CNN recently, and she spoke about the student forgiveness plan by Joe Biden. And, she spoke about the damage assessment on the Mar-a-Lago documents. And I'm going to play this almost four-minute clip. Here it is.
But let's turn to President Biden's decision to cancel billions of dollars in student loans. You've been pushing for this for a long time. It was a key part of your presidential campaign. And yet this debt relief is not as much as you wanted. Are you disappointed that President Biden didn't go further?
I am so happy to see what has happened. I recognize that right now, hardworking families, middle-class families, working-class families, have gotten some real relief. Think about it this way. Most of the relief that the president has given, remember, the majority of people are going to get $20,000 in student loan debt relief. 40% of the folks who have student loans do not have a college diploma, a four-year diploma. These are people who are truck drivers and who are nail technicians and nurses' aides. They are actually going to get their debt canceled out. And that means they're going to be able to build stronger futures for themselves and for their children. This is about America investing in people who work hard, who play by the rules, and who just need a government on their side. And Joe Biden has done what Joe Biden does best. He has delivered for working families.
Well, on that note, Senator, I want you to listen to one reaction from a small business owner who thinks that he has played by the rules. His name is Brian Lonsberry.
We have done the sacrifices, the no vacations, the no out-to-eats, and now I'm on the other side. The reason it upsets me so much is, are we setting the good example? It's a little upsetting that we kept paying and struggled and through everything, and then other people just gave up and quit, and I wasn't raised to quit.
What do you say to Brian and others who say that this is really not fair, that a student loan is just one kind of debt and there are other people who don't have that but have other struggles that the government isn't helping them with?
You know, I think a lot about fairness, and I think about how education debt is different from other debt. I look at it this way. I wanted to be a public school teacher from the time I was in second grade. My daddy ended up as a janitor, and there was no money for me to go to college. But I found a public university that cost $50 a semester. And for a price I could pay for on a part-time waitressing job, I finished a four-year diploma. I became a special education teacher, and it opened a million doors for me. That opportunity is not out there today for any of our kids. Our public education system is no longer creating opportunities for kids like me and other kids whose families can't afford to write a check. Instead, we're saying to these young people, you've got to get an education, but we are going to wrap the chains of debt around you. And for many, you're going to be paying it for decades into the future, including getting Social Security. That's not the America we want.
Well, I'm not sure.
We want to be an America of opportunity.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that this relieving this amount of debt changes the cost of college. The cost of college is still exorbitant.
Well, part of what it does is it deals with the debt has been built up because the cost of college has gone up, because taxpayers have made fewer investments in our public colleges and universities, because for-profit colleges have swooped in and figured out that they can cheat a lot of students, we have a lot of problems in the whole system. The president has done what he can do with the tool in front of him.
So that was Elizabeth Warren, United States Senator from the great state of Massachusetts. She's on the Banking and Financing Committee and the Urban Development Committees in the United States Senate. We're back, and Leslie, as we're just mentioning, the student debt relief and everything, we heard Elizabeth Warren. What's your take on it, Lori? Mm-hmm. And then...
Oh, I love everything that she said. I love Elizabeth Warren. I agree with her 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do too. She's amazing. She's very smart. She knows what she's talking about.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she, for years I've been listening to Elizabeth Warren, and she really never changes her tune. She's always, on the straight and narrow. You have to give her credit. You know, she keeps fighting and fighting and fighting, and she's, a good human being.
Yes, indeed. Do you think we'll ever have a woman president? Because, she'd make a great president of the United States.
She's
been through it all. I'd
give her my vote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think we'll ever have a woman president?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe eventually, but
mm-hmm.
I don't see it in 2024 happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't either.
You know who I would love to see? I think Michelle Obama would be the bomb. She would be awesome.
Yes. She's not only going to politics. She's a seven at that time. That's great, but she's not only getting politics.
No, she doesn't. She wants nothing to do with it. I'm just saying, that's who I would say as a woman. She would be a great president.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need someone like Elizabeth that knows Congress, because if you can't deal with Congress, you're not going to get anything done.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we need somebody
definitely.
Like that. That's why Clinton was really good. She was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't get elected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she got elected, but it was stolen from her because of that stupid electoral college bullshit.
Yeah, I think that's got to go. That was made up when mm-hmm. there was only a couple states that had a lot of people and the rest had very few, so they wanted to have
mm-hmm.
equal say. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't apply anymore, and they need to redo that for sure.
Yeah,
popular
it's been
vote
outdated.
And that's it.
It's been outdated since FDR. They should have gotten rid of it after he ran for his fourth term, because
mm-hmm.
it's antiquated. And it was based off racism, basically. That's how they formed the system.
Of course. Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
the South wanted more power at the time. So
mm-hmm.
that's why
mm-hmm.
it kept it.
Yep,
I know. And that's what's going on now. I mean, the Republicans, it's all, like I said, controlled by big business, and they're anti-people, anti-racist. I mean, they're white supremacists. And unless we
mm-hmm.
get them out of office, nothing's going to change. So we really got to beat
mm-hmm.
the bushes for November.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And especially the little offices, like the county clerks, the
mm-hmm.
School boards, county commissioners. And start
mm-hmm.
from there on up. It needs to be done that way. Because
mm-hmm.
that's where they're weaseling their way into,
Mm-hmm. Absolutely
mm-hmm.
are. Yes, they
mm-hmm.
are.
Did you see what they did
yes.
when the virus came out and you had to wear masks and had to have vaccines? They went nuts on the local level.
Oh, yeah.
It was
a
crazy.
Lot of
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're still nuts. Trust me. They're still nuts. There's nothing
I know.
But,
we got to do something, though. I mean, I'm thinking in Michigan, the big thing that's going to save us is the women voting for abortion rights. And
I
that's
agree.
Going to carry the rest of it along. And we have
absolutely.
A hope right there.
That's what I think the Supreme Court did us a favor. They didn't really want to do us a favor, but I think they did women a favor. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think they did us a favor as far as Democrats, you know, maybe being able to take over the House and the Senate. And, you know, who knows, into, you know, 2024, you know, we may have everything. So, yeah.
Plus
I think
the Voters' Rights Act. I'm pretty positive
yeah.
that'll pass here, but it needs to be passed in other states like Georgia and all those other states.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're changing the rules for themselves.
Yeah.
It's turning into a dictatorship rather than a democracy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Fascism.
The centers have election police now. I mean, good Lord. what these election police say, I don't know, just stand up with the big guns and
turn
them back. Turn them back, you know, stop them from voting. You know, the possibilities are endless. Remember the brown shirts, the Gestapo, or as Marjorie Taylor Greene, gazpachos. Yeah. Yeah, they're afraid of those gazpachos. You know, they'll shoot you down, especially if you're a minority.
I'm glad, you know, both my parents passed. They were mm-hmm. went through the Depression and World War II. My dad fought at it. My mom was a war bride. They would be turning in their graves if they heard
yeah.
what's going on now. They ran away from Mussolini. And
yes,
now,
they did.
And we're having it here in the United States. Oh,
mm-hmm.
my God, they would be so upset. They came here for freedom.
Yeah.
My grandparents came for freedom here, away from all that. And we're having fascists here now? It's ridiculous.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sick.
It is.
But they're going to get away with it. They're not going to get away with it.
Nope.
I hope to God that there's a lot of states that are turning weird.
You know, Governor DeSantis, and Greg Abbott, you know, I want to really complain about DeSantis first, and I don't call him DeSantis. I call him DeSatan because he is just evil. And the last thing that he did was he sent 50 immigrants, and they arrived by plane to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts on Wednesday. Flight paid for by Governor Ron DeSantis and originated in San Antonio, Texas. The migrants touched down at about 3:15 p.m. local time. Later Wednesday, a spokesperson for DeSantis sent a statement to NPR and other news outlets confirming that the migrants were transported by Florida under a state program that was funded by the legislature earlier this year. The statement reads, in part, states like Massachusetts, New York, and California will be better to facilitate the care of these individuals who have invited in our country by illegal immigration. This makes me sick, literally sick. Can you feel? I can feel these people so afraid. They're just told to get on an airplane, and you're going to another state. You don't know where the hell you're going. You don't know where you're going to sleep. You don't know when you're going to eat next. You don't know when you can go to the bathroom next. And he just on a plane and ships them out of freaking Florida. What kind of animal is he?
And there was a woman there that talked them into it. Oh, you'll get your papers done. You'll have a job and you'll have a house. Get on board. That's what they did because the people wanted to stay where they were at because they had relatives that could, you know, to help them, you know, get a job and all that, like when our parents and grandparents came here, you had to have a sponsor. Well, they had relatives here that were filling out papers and all that and going through the legal. But no, these people that this woman talked them into the plane. Oh, we got jobs for you. We'll fill out the papers. You'll have a place to stay. Get aboard, get aboard. And there were two planes with 60 people, I guess, something like that, they said.
They were told that they were going to Martha's. They were told they were going to Boston, and they ended up at Martha's Vineyard. Why did they lie to them anyway? I mean, they were going to do what they wanted anyways and send them where they wanted. Why did they have to lie about it? That makes no sense to me.
Typical Republican. Yeah.
You know.
Anyway, Susie, thank you so much for calling in. You want to make one more point?
You keep it up. You keep it up.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Will do. Have a good night.
Yeah, that was Susie from Michigan. Yes, man. So we'll have 20 minutes left to wrap up on everything. Do you think nationalism, white nationalism, and evangelicalism are like, you know, two sides of the same coin, basically?
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's no difference between them. You know, you can't have a white nationalist person. The two of them is just like, there's no difference between them, basically. And, you know, whoever is a white nationalist is a racist. And these people who call themselves evangelicals are not Christians, because what they're doing, it wasn't teaching of Jesus, who they strongly believe in. You know, so the whole hypocrisy, it coming to light now, the chicken's coming home to roost. Barry Goldwater, in 1964, he ran for president unsuccessfully. He said that the evangelicals have taken over the Republican Party. I was what the fruits are bearing now, you know. So I give it 10 years before the Republican Party turn a fringe minority party, because people are so sick and fed up of them, especially on this abortion thing. Look in Kansas. Was it Kansas or Nebraska where, it was Kansas where conservative people in Kansas voted in a landslide to keep abortion legal, you know, even in cases like a rape and incest. If Kansas can do it, other states can do it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm proud of Kansas.
It's going to pass here in Michigan too. I do believe that, you know. I was reading an article earlier today, and I didn't save it, but they were saying that the evangelists in about 50 years are not going to be around because the young people are not religious. They're not into Christianity. And I kind of believe that. I kind of believe that, you know, they're not, you know, there's not a lot of families like it used to be, you know, that used to go to church every single Sunday or forced to go to church, you know, and forced to go to confession and all that good stuff. That's not happening now. And they said that, you know, that's the study that they're doing right now. And they feel that the young people are going to be the ones that will not, you know, it won't survive. So that might not be a bad thing. You know, and there's a lot of people that do not believe. I mean, they're atheists. They just don't believe. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in anything. So, you know, and there's a lot of people like that. So, you know, never know.
So in a 2018 report of polls conducted from 2003 to 2017, of 174,485 random sample telephone interviews by ABC News and the Washington Post, it shows significant shifts in U.S. religious edification in 15 years, where people, like you said, moving away from evangelicalism and, you know, away from religion, basically. Anywhere from 6% to 35% of the United States population is evangelical, depending on how evangelical is defined. A 2008 study reported that in the year 2000, about 9% of Americans attended an evangelical, I can't even say that word, evangelical service on any given Sunday. A 2014 Pew Research Center survey of religious life in the United States identified the evangelical percentage of the population at 25.4%, while Roman Catholic were 20.8%, and mainland Protestants were 14.7%. But in 2020, mainline Protestants were reported to outnumber the predominantly white evangelical church. So, you know, we'll have this, you know, 9% of Americans holding the Republican Party hostage with the MAGA sycophants, you know, since 2000 until now. And we can't allow this to happen or continue happening where, you know, the minority have too much of a big say because, you know, money play a role in it and the others have money, you know. You know, so people have to get up, as Sue's saying, and go out there and vote. That's the only way we can save the democracy. Because, you know, crazy people like these religious nuts and the NRA people and big oil, big tobacco, you know, they're looking out for themselves, you know? And what evangelical teachings are not the teachings that Jesus would have believed in and God. You know, so wake up, America. We're going to kick their asses come November.
You better believe it. And I agree. And on that comment, I'm going to say this. The total of number of women registering to vote in Kansas, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Oklahoma, Florida, North Carolina, Indiana, Alabama, New Mexico, and Maine rose by 35% this summer, women.
Good.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So
yes.
There is hope. You know, there's, you know, they always say there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I do believe that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And there's also this other little article that I was reading. There was in Idaho, there was an 18-year-old young lady and a climate activist, and she did not like the way the school board was handling misinformation and you know, and the bullying and the reversal, you know, the way the school is and how the school boards are, you know, banning books and all of that. So she decided and she decided to run for school board. And now, you know, Utah is very red. And do you know she won? She won.
Oh, that's good
Good. She's only 18 years old. And she ran for school board and she won. So she's a high school senior and she vocally opposed book bans and smears against LGBTQ youth, and took a seat on the Boise School Board. So, you know, this is what I say, you know, I truly believe in that generation. You know, they're not as dumb as people make them out to be. They really are not. You know, they're for climate change and equality of all people. And I truly believe that they are the future of this country. I believe that in a good way, in a good way.
Yes. So the Christian right has been associated with several nonprofit political and issues-oriented organizations, such as Moral Majority, that was Jared Falwell, the Christian Coalition, which was Pat Robertson, Crazy Uncle Pat, Focus on the Family, that originated in Colorado Springs, Colorado, James Dobson, in 1977. He's a fundamentalist Protestant.
He founded the Focus on the Family Group and the Family Research mm-hmm. Council, which is American Evangelical Activist Group, a think tank with an affiliated lobbying organization, and to promote family values. And it opposes and lobbies against access to pornography, embryonic stem cell research, abortion, divorce, and LGBTQ rights. You know, so these people mm-hmm. make up 9% of America, basically. That's
yeah.
what the Pew Research thing said. The
mm-hmm.
you know, so we cannot have, you know, 9% of the population dictating what everybody else do based on the Bible,
absolutely.
Whatever they think, they believe. We're not going to stand for that anymore. You know, we're not going to stand for that. Mm-hmm.
And they should have to pay damn tax. Telling you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, if you're talking about politics or involving politics and everything,
yeah.
then as a church,
absolutely.
You should pay back things.
Yes, absolutely. I think all churches should pay tax. I mean, why not? They're basically a business.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I've been saying that forever, and it's probably never happened. But they should be paying tax, and maybe some things
yeah.
would change.
Yeah. Look at Jerry Falwell Jr. I briefly mentioned at the last show where, you know, his wife and a pool boy was having
yep.
an affair for years, nearly a decade, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't want to pay him what was owed to him because he invested in property in Miami, Florida. And when invested in this property, it catered mostly to gay people and LGBTQ,
mm-hmm.
LGBTQ community. And so his
mm-hmm.
part of the deal is you're supposed to get X amount from the investment,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't want to pay him. And so he outed
yeah.
them, saying, oh, you know, look at that. There are, you know, family values, but yet still, you know, they're catering to gays and the kids
mm-hmm.
that have a swinger lifestyle. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
living an exorbitant life. You get what I'm saying? So
yeah.
these Christian fundamentalists,
for sure.
nut jobs, they're hypocrites. They're doing one thing,
yeah.
one thing, doing another thing. You know, so I'm glad that came to light and everything. People look it up
well,
on YouTube, Jerry Falwell Jr., the pool boy and his wife. You know,
yes. you know, they're in it for the money. I mean, basically
mm-hmm.
that, and we've talked about this before. You know, they make millions and millions of dollars, and you know, it's a pretty good business, and you don't have to pay tax. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty smart.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Yeah.
The evangelical movement going down, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
people have woken up, you know.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, they want you to give so much of your income to them. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, God, Jesus, like Oral Roberts, for example, Jesus came to him in a dream. And say, yes,
yeah.
if he doesn't get X amount by the end of the show, then God will take
yeah.
him home. I'm like, look
mm-hmm.
at this motherfucker here. You know?
I know.
People really fall for him to send the medication
yeah,
money or the rent money. I'm like, oh, my God, people,
yeah.
wake the hell up. You know?
I know.
Are you kidding me right now? Yeah.
No. They truly have a way with the things that they say, and they touch
mm-hmm.
upon them and believe everything that they say. They're really good at what they do.
No, no, actually, there's no critical thinking with the supporters. That's a thing, you
no,
know? The supporters are so stupid, you know?
No.
It's not even ignorant, stupid, downright stupid.
Well, a lot of them are vulnerable. A lot of them are down and out and are looking for something to give them hope. And, you know, their words give them hope, even though it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, fake hope. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but why give your last money when... Why give your last money, you know, instead of buying medication that you need or food?
That's an
absolute, you know?
Question. I don't have an answer for it.
Because
I
they're
truly
stupid,
do not...
Lauren. They're stupid. They're gullible. They're stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I guess there's no other way to put it except that, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
When it comes to
I so wish a right-wing person would call the show one night. You know, I'd rip on you, asshole, for real. Because, maybe that's why they're not calling, you know? Because, you know, I'd rip them so bad. I'd mock them in their face and make fun of them and ridicule them. How can you vote Republican?
Yep.
You know, I mean, you have $500,000 in a bank, you know, like land and also property, you know, you're working class, you dumb asshole, and you vote Republican. Okay. You know, I'd rip them, I'd shred them to pieces with no mercy. You know, the Republican Party is not the Republican Party of Eisenhower, you know.
Yep.
Nixon would have been proud of his Republican Party.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
There's such many changes. I just wanted to mention one last thing that we shouldn't forget about Clarence Thomas. Because, you know, his wife Ginny, you know, Clarence Thomas covered up to over $685,000 that his wife Ginny received from the right-wing Heritage Foundation. And in this closure, from where he was supposed to write his spouse's income, he wrote none. Dead. So this is the kind of, you know, that's just as bad.
And that's tax fraud right there. It's tax fraud.
That's what I'm saying to you. This is just as bad as the churches, you know, getting money from these people. I mean, look what she did. I mean, look what he did. And why is he still relevant? Why is he still relevant?
He should excuse himself.
He won't ever. He's too arrogant for that. He will never excuse himself. Never. Absolutely. He'll die on the bench if he can. He'll die on the bench. Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope he dies a horrible, painful death. But
you know,
just
awful.
Yes. So, what else was happening in the Republican Party this past week? I want to talk a little bit more on about that golf course thing where they're all on the golf course talking to Trump.
Yeah.
You know, with no golf clubs, no golf balls, or just, you know, like mobsters talking on a golf course. Do you think they're planning on, not if, but when, the Republicans lose in November, they're going to try to strike up a civil war? That's what I think.
That was probably part of the conversation. I think the other part of the conversation is to touch base with each other, what they're all going to say next, you know?
Right, get the stories right.
The story's all straight. That sort of thing. Oh yeah, that was a meeting of the so-called minds. It wasn't for anything good, that's for sure. It was for nothing good.
Right, exactly.
It was
exactly.
Not for anything, you know, no golf clubs, and you're right. They were, are they planning another coup? I don't know, you know.
Yeah, more than likely.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, and anything involving Sean Hannity with that orange bastard, Donald Trump, then you know something is really sinister.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Sinister.
And who else was there? Hannity? I don't know who all was there.
Devin Nunes.
Oh, I know Eric was one of them.
Donald Trump Jr.
Eric. Yes. Eric was one of them. Yeah, it's sick.
Even dumbass Eric was there. You're right. Yeah,
his son was there. So you know that it was something to do with what's happening. And they're all to get on the same page and, you know, get their story straight. And I would love to know who took that picture because it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, 90 minutes go by fast. I think we should have done a two-hour show, but oh, well, you know, we're getting there. Okay, and that's our show for tonight. This has been Kitchen Politics 1-3 for September 15, 2022, Thursday night. Mm-hmm. We thank you for joining us and calling us. Until next time, this is David Franklin. This is David Franklin in New Mexico.
And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Thank everyone for calling, listening, sharing. And we will see you again on Monday. Love y'all.
Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I'm watching Crystal. Do you know what this?
I love it. Thank you.
See you next week, Monday, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Block Talk Radio, Kitchen Politics 123. Good night and good luck.